Good morning. I know we just prayed, but you can never get enough of prayer, so let's do it again. Dear God, thanks for this day where we could come to church. Please remove my nervousness from me so I can speak your word. I'm not a worthy vessel for it, and none of us are, but through you we can be. In your name, amen. When we became Christians, we did so because we realized that the weight of our sin caused us to need a Savior. So we accepted Jesus as that Savior to escape the eternal punishment of hell. However, there's more to being a Christian than having a get-out-of-hell-free card, and that's where many of us, including myself, begin to struggle. The primary duty of Christians is to obey the Great Commission and become as much like Christ as possible. The Great Commission is when Jesus told the disciples, and therefore us, to make disciples of all the world, teach the gospel, and be baptized. I'm reading out of the ESV, so my verses may be a little bit different from yours, but they should be pretty similar. If you go to Mark 16, 15 through 18, we can see what the Great Commission says. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Amen. Isn't that amazing what we can do through Christ? This is what our duty is to Christ. He suffered a grisly death on the cross for us to be saved. We should try to save others in return to spread the joy and hope of Jesus' eternal sacrifice. Contrary to a popular alternative theory that's gaining traction in the world of theology right now, hell is not something a non-Christian can escape. And hell is not just an idea to scare people into Christian conformity. It is a real place where those who denied God in their first life are fated to suffer for the rest of eternity. It breaks my heart, and it should break yours, that even one person has to stay there. These are just a couple of things the Bible has to say about hell. In Revelations 21, 6 through 8, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" You can't make a metaphor out of that. In Matthew 13, 47 through 50, it is said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but they threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's not just crying, it's weeping. And Merriam-Webster defines gnashing as to strike one's teeth together. Millions of people are doing that somewhere right now and will continue doing that for eternity, wishing that they could go back and accept Christ's love over their own sinful desires, if they just had a chance. But there is hope, and that hope is Christ through us. Our job is not to allow that to happen, to tell Satan not one more. Whether it's in the jungles of Africa, the deserts of the Middle East, or your workplace in Des Moines, God is urging you, if you are a Christian, to show others his glory and redemption. This can be as simple as waiting for an opportunity in a conversation to speak up about God, or being brave enough to bring up the topic yourself. No matter what reaching the lost means to you, I urge you to remember Matthew 25, 31 through 45. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So when you get to heaven, will you be one of God's sheep who led others to salvation, or one of the goats who were only concerned with their own salvation?
Well, one of my prayers have been answered since I first came here, that our youth Sundays would not be youth minister Sundays, because they can easily become that. So we're so glad to have youth that are preaching and singing and leading us, which is a huge blessing and encouragement. I'm going to continue where Sam left off. He didn't read verse 46. He saved it for me. He said, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There is a false doctrine that has arisen. It started a while back, even as far back as the second century. There's what's called universal salvation. And some theologians believe that one day all people will be saved, that there'll be a universal salvation, that it doesn't matter if you chose Christ and followed Christ here or not, which, like I said, is a false doctrine, because Jesus even talked about hell, the presence of hell, and not just the temporary hell that would make you wise up and eventually choose God, but one that is eternal. Verse 46 uses that word, eternal, and some theologians will take that word and say, well, actually, in the Greek, that word aionion could mean just a long time, to where eventually you would learn from your mistake of not choosing God, and eventually, after being punished in hell, turn around and say, I don't want to live here any much longer than choose God. Well, there's a few things wrong with that. Well, that word eternal, actually, the first top three meanings of it mean forever. So if you go into and research it, that aionion, the word for eternal, you'll find that very top, everlasting, eternal, which is forever, and never ending. If you go really far down to the bottom, you could find that it's used as just a very long time, but it's very unlikely. But let's say it was. If it was just that word as a temporary time, then that means heaven is temporary only as well. Because the very same verse, Jesus used the very same word for eternal life. So he says, those that the unrighteous will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. But I don't think God meant heaven to be temporary. He's the eternal God. So as we see, hell is a very real place that Jesus talked about, and it's not temporary, it is forever. And as we do seek to save the lost, we're saving them from something that is terrible. Zach.
Alrighty. I'm going to start off with it's going to sound like a really stupid question, but raise your hand if you've ever known someone. Good. Type of answer I was wanting. Alright. Have you ever ministered to that person? Have you ever told them who God was? Have you ever told them what church was? Have you ever told them who Jesus was? And basically, I've had plenty of people that have come into my life who I've had the chance to teach them about God, but I haven't. And that just tears me down inside sometimes, because I think about that and I think how that person might go to hell because I didn't minister to them. And this is a very, you know, emotional topic because we all know people that who choose their sin over God, which is not right. So I'm going to start off with Matthew 28, verse 16, which, as many of you know, is the Great Commission. I'll be Bible jumping all over the place today, so you might want to prepare for that. All right, here we go. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So God is basically telling us in this verse that we're not just called to believe in Jesus. Well, that's great to believe in Jesus, but he calls us to go out into the world and minister to other people, to spread the great news that Jesus has come and died for them, no matter who it is. Jesus hung out with some pretty not well-liked people when he was on earth. He hung out with the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and so on. And basically, people in that society thought those people were ungodly, that God could not have loved them because of the things they've done in their past. But Jesus has shown us through generations and generations that we are blessed so much. And I'm going to take my phone out real quick because I have a little bit of notes. I was looking at an article the other day, and it says, well, God has called us to be the salt of the world, but sometimes we just need to get out a salt shaker. And what that means is that we shouldn't just minister to one group of people because they're these group of people. I can go to a church and minister to them. That's something. But then also going out and seeking people that don't really want to know God, people who might know God but they don't want to follow him, seeking out, finding those people and telling them about the love that God has for them. I've found out with Mom and Joppa that God can bless people no matter what situation they're in, that no matter where they are in their life, God will always give them a chance to come back to him. And I've had plenty of examples in my own life, like I've said, that has affected me in that topic. My father and I have had a very torn relationship for a long time because he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't want to change the way he lives for Jesus. And me and my family, we've talked to him so many times about that. And it kind of kills me to see that my own father, someone who's supposed to have a dramatic part of my life, doesn't believe the same things I believe. And at some points I thought I was failing because he wasn't listening to me. He didn't want to talk about church. We've invited him to so many church events, but yet he just doesn't want to listen. And I thought I was failing, that I wasn't being a good Christian because I wasn't convincing him enough that Jesus was worth living for. But then God has come, showed me throughout all my 15 years of life that, and I'm just getting started. He's shown me that you just need to try your hardest to talk with people about God, and then God will do the rest. All you need to do is plant that one little seed, and God will plant the rest. And unfortunately, some Christians in this world don't share their faith as much as we should. I saw a statistic the other day. It said, sadly, 1 out of 10 Christians will share their faith with others. That's a low number. One of the main reasons some Christians don't share their faith is because they're either ashamed or scared. Like I said, I haven't testimonied to as many people as I should have, mainly because I was scared. scared I was going to get denied from them, scared that I was going to get treated differently. And at that point, I had just drawn a line that says, I'm going to go this far with them, and then if they don't want to cross that line with me, I'll stop talking to them about that. And I knew that was wrong, because God has shown me through a wonderful church family and a loving family that you do anything to save the people you care about. And, you know, to this day, and to days on, I will keep testifying the love of God to my father. And even though he might not be very wanting to hear it, I'm going to keep doing it, because God has shown me that all it takes is one little seed, and then the rest is planted. And you see in other countries that, you know, we have Christians that are scared to share their faith because in some cases they're being killed because of it. Because this world has taught generations that it's not good to be a Christian because it's not real. I have plenty of friends that keep telling me that God isn't real, and I keep telling them that, and how is all this here? God isn't real, how am I here? Because I know if God wasn't in my life, if he hasn't shown me through the many blessings in my life, I would not be here if it wasn't for him. We've all been lost at some point. We've all been away from God at some point in our lives, and you know, life may seem tough sometimes, and God will show you, as he's shown to me, that he loves you, and he doesn't want to see you go to hell. Because that is the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being. That's why we need to go out into the world, tell as many people as we can about God. Because I believe Jesus is coming soon. And it's probably sooner than we think. The Bible has told us that all this stuff that's going to happen before Jesus comes back, and I've seen this stuff happening throughout our daily lives, and all I know is that I'm ready for him. So ready. I'm ready in a case that I want to go share as many people as I share with people as much as I can about God. Because I don't want to see anyone go to hell. It's such a terrible thing. I'll even go up to a random person and tell them about God just so that they don't go to hell. Doesn't matter who they are. Homeless person, a mailman, anyone. Let's see. The main point is that there's no plan. There's no plan B. We are it. Before Jesus left, he told us that we need to go out into the world and share with people his love and why he came and died for us on the cross. And that there's no greater love than that. There's a quote that Jason shared with me. It says, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So if you're not fishing, you're not following. We also had a skit from a couple years ago. Some of you might remember that, where Alex was the main star of that. that we had a kid, there was two different types of situations. One that he followed Christ, one that he didn't. The one that he didn't, he ended up overdosing on some pills and stuff, and he probably went to hell for that. And it just kills me to think about people going to hell and having to punish and having to, you know, live with that for the rest of eternity. But there is still hope. Because in the other skit, in the other part of the skit, we had another one of our youth kids, Isaac, play the kid who told Alex about Jesus. And me and Isaac have gone back a long time. I've known him since how long, Mom? Since we were 6 years old. We used to be neighbors, so we saw each other a lot. But he's been a great effect on my life, and I've been a great on his, I like to think. Because a couple years ago, he accepted Christ, and that just, you know, to see one of my greatest friends be saved from hell, that just, it broke my heart in a great way, because I saw what God was going to do with my friend's life. And even though he might be in Wisconsin right now instead of here, he's going to testify to so many other people. And that's because God has shown him, as he's shown me, that he loves you, and he's not willing to lose you. He will do whatever he can, and God has all the power, and he will do truly whatever he can to minister to you, put people in your life, and in the long term, bring you salvation through Jesus Christ.